Exactly. There was one of the classic cases like this. There was a Kreskin was known as a famous psychic, okay? And a reporter went to interview him, a skeptical reporter. And guy knocks on the door, and Kreskin opens the door, and there's this guy just standing there, you know, looking directly at him. And Kreskin says, can I help you? Oh, all right, you want me to pick up, all right. He says, well, he says, I'm getting a kind of a round object with a handle, and that seems to belong to you. The guy says, ha, that's not what I was sending. And then he came in to do the interview, you know, skeptical through the whole interview, but Kreskin finished the interview. Reporter goes down, stairs to his car, starts to put his thing into the trunk, and there in the middle of the trunk, he's got nothing else in his trunk, is his tennis racket that he forgot was there. And, which was that exact same shape, and he knew that that's what Kreskin was picking up. Well, what we learned from that, he wrote this in an article, what we learned from that is that what the coup picks up is not always what you're sending at a surface level, but it will sometimes pick up what you're sending at an unconscious level. In other words, it'll sometimes go straight coup de coup rather than coup de conscious mind. The more the rapport develops, the more it's easier to get a conscious sending. But when you're beginning rapport, the coup finds it easier to go coup to coup. And so it can pick up other things about you rather than what you're consciously thinking. It's like it tunes to a different frequency. Now, this is partly what was happening here, right, with John and I. But John picked up one aspect of what I was sending. What I was sending was a little more complicated. You know, both John and I were sending more complicated stuff. I was sending Louis Armstrong playing the trumpet, okay? With the whole sense of perspiration and wiping yourself off and the mouth on the trumpet, that kind of stuff. And John picked up...
I picked up mouth discomfort, and I interpreted that as being in the dentist. It was mouth discomfort. Yeah, like
that. That's interesting.
Which was very good.
I could feel it. I was uncomfortable in my mouth. So my conscious experience is that, dentist.
Okay, that's the association.
Because you're not used to playing
to
the trumpet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Not this week.
Now, he picked up, or he sent.
I sent a forest fire, a raging forest fire across the hillside. With the sound and the smoke and the sweat and the heat and the noise and everything else and the color.
That was part of mine too. Mm. What I was picking up.
My coup picked up, and it surprised me when I got it, but my coup picked up John, okay, doing a sailor's jig. I have to admit, you had bright red striped on the shirt, you know, those horizontal stripes that the sailors wear. And then after he finished doing the jig, well, he was playing the banjo and drinking grog.
Now we're getting close.
Yeah, right. And so my coup was picking up a different aspect. It decided, not interested in a raging forest fire, because he was focusing on the fire and the destruction of it, and my coup's not in that mood. And picked up a different aspect of me, because he does play the banjo. And so even there, it depends on... There are kind of filtering systems that come in sometimes with the kind of stuff that's picked up. John wasn't in any immediate danger, so my coup didn't think what he was sending was significant.
Question, if your coup had not been so experienced at creating its own reality, if it was an inexperienced coup, would it have picked up the fire rather than replacing it with something it liked better?
It's not so much, I don't think it's inexperience, is that if the fire triggered an association, let's say a fear association, it would likely have picked it up, or something close to it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or if it were a pyromaniac idea in there, or why it might have picked that up more. In this case, without knowing my own coup like I do, you were in no danger, so the fire wasn't significant, and it wanted to pick up something different about you, because what came through was real sharp and clear, and you were just kind of standing there laughing. So it was picking up a different level of you and chose to ignore that part that you were sending consciously. So it's not so much the inexperience as it is what triggers associations in different people.
Well, you know, There seems to be a lot out there now, people giving psychic readings, and
sure,
whether for a living or whatever, but
right,
what I'm learning now is that, you know, what they're receiving from us is partly their own.
Oh, of course.
You know, so how...
Well, here's what happens. It's partly their own, but the people who are receiving psychic information, doing psychic readings, we'll do something like this a little later on, but they are receiving symbolism. They have their attention, let's say, on you. And they're paying attention to what goes on in their mind. And they are interpreting that. So what they're, let's say, if I'm tuning into you to do a psychic reading, okay, well, then I might get, oh, I could get anything. I might get a motorboat going across Lake Placid. Okay, and heading towards some tall trees at the end, and a picnic waiting over there. And so I'm seeing that, and I'm saying, all right, I can see what's coming up ahead for you. You're going ahead in life quicker, you know, more quickly than you might think, but it's going to be easy. It's going to be nice and peaceful. And you're going through a peaceful phase of your life, and you're going to reach a point where people are going to be welcoming you, and you are going to be have a celebration, because you're going to be accomplishing your goal. But the way there is going to be very peaceful. I may not have told you anything about the motorboat or Lake Placid or the picnic on the shore. I would simply tell you these things, which are my interpretations of the images that I'm getting in relation to thinking about you. Mm-hmm. And that's how these psychics do their readings. Mm-hmm. Different ones have different little ways. If they see something above, that to me them may mean something that's open and above board, and if they see something down at the bottom of the picture, they may interpret that as being, this is hidden, this is underneath. Up close is near future, far away is far future. Different psychics have different ways of interpreting the symbols that they have through experience and practice.
And it could in fact be totally something different. I mean, it could be an actual motorboat trip, for instance.
It could be that. It could be that, that's true.
How does the recipient know?
The recipient doesn't always. Mm-hmm. Now, it also depends on the skill of the psychic at getting their own stuff out of the way. Mm-hmm. And their skill at interpreting and getting feedback from their interpretations. And there's a feeling sometimes that comes as to whether this is more symbolic or more actual. Okay. And even then, you got to realize this, they're picking up, not the future, but they're picking up potentials based on where you are at now. This is why you go for a reading. They always, not always, but sometimes will start off telling you something about the past, because that's the easiest thing to pick up. That's already in your memory. That's what they're picking up. Now when they start looking into the future, they're picking up potentials based on where you are at now. If you change your mind or you go through other kinds of changes, your future changes. And so sometimes psychics end up being way off, but only because you have changed your future. And sometimes it becomes partial. One time a psychic did a reading for me, and she said, in January you are going to meet a master teacher, and he's going to have a powerful influence on your life, and you'll study with him for a long time. And what happened was that in January I met the guy. And he was a really good teacher, and we were friends, and I saw him a couple times, and we got along great. I didn't learn any real deep things from him, and I never studied with him. By the time it happened, I was in a different space. My future had changed, my desires and needs and all that kind of thing had changed. But she had picked up the potential of meeting this person who was like a soul friend. So they can pick up partially if they're really good, but the interpretations, don't ever take them as fact. There are always probabilities, possibilities.
And isn't it true that each person sort of has developed their own specialty? I mean, sees it maybe a different level.
Exactly. They see it at a different level. The symbolism is different. Some people see it in colors and lights and interpret it that way. Some people hear voices and sound. But what they're always doing is interpreting what they're receiving. And they're not receiving... very, very rarely are they receiving direct images that are directly you doing certain things. It's always like dream images that they interpret.
What about smell?
What about it?
Or smell or fragrances.
Yes.
Is that just another way of triggering a memory or recollection?
Oh yeah, it's a powerful memory evoker. Yeah. Right. And again, you can pick that up as potentials too. For instance, I know people who've gone into areas and have smelled smoke. And in particular, fire. They're picking up a near potential. And so, you know, some people are more attuned to smell. It's a powerful memory evoker, but a lot of people don't use it psychically very much. But all of our senses, you know, contain all these kinds of information. And so, in what we just did here, what we did and the way that we did it was a way to begin developing a stronger rapport with a person, if you want to. But you could see through the kinds of responses how the crew will pick up certain things and magnify those. And we were just picking up the direct images and we weren't trying to make any interpretations out of them. Any questions on what we've done so far? Yes?
Something very basic.
Sure.
When you say hand up, you...
Oh, that's just for convenience. You see, when we do left hand up, right hand down, and you bring the hands together, mm-hmm. the subconscious likes patterns. And since we do this as one of our regular training exercises, when you do it like that, it makes it special. It's almost like a small ritual. And the subconscious mind loves rituals. And so rather than just holding hands with somebody, when you hold hands in a special way, Ku says, oh, okay, we're doing something special now. And moves into a different mode and pays more attention. That's right, exactly.
So you use it as a focusing device.
Exactly.
But does the ritual have to have some particular meaning for you? For example, I did belong to a group quite a while ago that were very big on rituals, mm-hmm. and I found those rituals had no meaning for me, and in fact it created such an aversion to it, I had to step right out.
Oh, sure,
right. To say, now, was my coup remembering something from maybe a past life that the
lots of possibilities. That's one possibility. Ku, in the course of the ritual, may have been picking up vibrations from the other people that it didn't like. Okay. Or the rituals themselves were done for the sake of the rituals themselves and without any meaning on their part behind them, possibly. There's many ways, many things that the Ku could have picked up. And the little things that we do as ritual, as shamans, we do very, very simple. Very simple things. Just enough to get the Ku focused. So it doesn't have, if you're doing more elaborate rituals, yes. If you really want to bring in the subconscious involvement, it's got to have meaning. Mm-hmm. Here, though, it's simply done to create a pattern.
Sure. Right. Would it be safe to say it's better to go with your intuition when you are sending or receiving?
Well, what do you mean by that?
Instead of saying, geez, I wonder what that person's sending to me. Now, do they mean to send this or whatnot?
Oh, yeah.
It's better to go with your intuition, your first impressions,
instead of
your imagination.
Right. Well, what happens is when you try to mind read, when we're doing telepathy, don't mind read. Okay? Now, what I mean by that is we get into all kinds of trouble when we try to guess what a person is thinking. When we try to say, no, what we're saying now, I wonder what they were trying to send. Okay? What do they mean by that? We almost always stir up shoulds, and we stir up fears and misinterpretations and all kinds of stuff when we're trying to figure out what another person is thinking. Doesn't work very well. So there, let your intuition guide you, whatever comes up. For instance, so most often what will come, it'll come just kind of by itself as a knowing. The more you praise your subconscious when it does that, the more easily that stuff will come, properly at the right time. Right? And when you turn your attention on somebody, you say, okay, I want to get some information about them, something will come through. You trust that, you thank your Ku like you would a good friend, and you'll reinforce more of that same kind of behavior. When you bring the conscious mind in and try to analyze it, is when you drive it into distortion. So there's a difference between trying to analyze it and allowing the intuition to be there. But every time you think this is a good thing and you kind of praise yourself, the way we do it, thank your Ku. Hey, that was good. You got that little bit, you got that tree in there? Good. Okay? You got that sunlight on the building? That was real close, coup. Real good. So I look at my coup, I say, hey, you got those red stripes. All right? That's like the fire. Good going, coup. Don't criticize any part of it. Praise whatever you can, and you'll tend to reinforce more of the kind of behavior that you want. Okay, so it's like you're training that part of yourself to being more aware. And as best you can, keep your... Stop trying to mind read with your conscious mind. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's what doesn't work. All right.
So when you're consciously trying to sense something and somebody picks up something else, why does that happen? Like for one of you it's easier coup de coup, or for both of you, or it's something that...
Well, it's in the way that the coup is picking up what you're sending. The coup is going to respond more to the feeling tone than, as a matter of fact, okay, that is kind of what I was realizing what my coup was picking up over here too. Right? It was more of a feeling tone of excitement than it was the specific image.
Yeah.
Okay? Because it's the feeling tone that the coup is so much involved with. It's the kind of feelings that these images evoke. And the kind, so if you want to send something and influence somebody, use whatever images you like, but have greater sense of the feeling tone that you want to send that will help to influence behavior or feeling, and you're going to have more success with that kind of telepathy.
And does color help as well? That's something that's come through with me lately.
Color helps. Very much in the sense that there are certain kinds of associations with color, and color will help stimulate either a sense of activity or a sense of calming down. So often in our telepathic healing work, we'll use color.
Can you tell me the colors? Can you tell us the colors right now? The colors we should send? If it's...
Okay, well, I would never say should, but here's what
well,
we use.
Okay.
We, from out of the Polynesian tradition, we use the rainbow.
Which
starting out with white and then just the basic colors of the color wheel, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and violet. Same thing you find in the rainbow. There's no indigo in the rainbow, and indigo is not a true color. Some systems use indigo, fine. The Polynesian doesn't. But if you like indigo, go ahead and use it. You know. Basically, the most important thing about the colors to know, if you want to send them telepathically, is that the warm colors stimulate and the cool colors calm down. Or in another way, the warm colors expand and the cool colors contract. And so if you think in terms of the generalities, the cool will respond to that much more. That message will get through much more than something in detail. Yes.
Just back to our exercise quickly. I'm just wondering if a stronger person in the room, the strongest person in the room, would influence others. Well, just the fact that he was doing forest fire, she was doing a sunrise or sunset. Maybe that could have been an influence right there, but also that I was picking up fire somehow. Is there?
Oh, sure, of course. Now you have to realize this. And John's a pretty powerful person.
Well, this is what I'm wondering, yeah.
Yes, there will be an influence, but the influence, depending on where your focus of attention is, the influence will be there, but it'll be incorporated into whatever your attention is on. In the same way as here you are sleeping and you are having a dream, and in your dream there's a telephone call. And you pick up and you have a conversation in your dream. When there's actually a telephone ringing out in this life, okay? And all your coup does is take that thing that's happening in the environment and incorporate it into your own dream. So it could very well have been influenced by the fire that he was sending. Okay?
Did you have your eyes open and closed when you were receiving?
Well, I was receiving. I had my eyes closed. She was sending sunset. Right. I was receiving fire. I mean, it might even been she was sending that because of you. or I was getting it. I don't know. It's almost, there's some connection.
But here's my point. My point is that, of course, there's influence because we're all connected and there are no limits. But even if there's influence, your ku will take that influence, modify it according to where your attention is. You see what I mean? So let's say that we were doing it, and let's say John was sending and you were receiving, and she's sending sunlight and you're receiving fire. You were receiving a near equivalent to what she was sending, influenced possibly by what he was sending. But nevertheless, it was related to what she was sending. So the influence of John, unless John were in a terrifically high emotional state, would not overwhelm what you were receiving. Your ku would simply take that and use that as part of the thing that you're receiving.
Well, maybe she was sending it because he was sending it too.
Well, again, well, I don't think she was sending it because she had made her own choice of what it was, but she could have been influenced too and then modified what she was sending. But because all of this modification, all this influence is occurring all the time, you don't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
It's not significant. It's going to happen. You could even be influenced by something that's happening to a member of your family right now and incorporate that into what you're sending or what you're receiving. The influence is there and the modifications will occur. This is why it's so difficult and most of the time not important to pick up details. It's the general tone that's the most important thing to pick up. Or often what will happen is you trust an intuitive impulse, an impulse to action of some kind that will come through. Gee, I feel like calling so-and-so. Right? And you call them and you discover that they're hurt or that they need you or that they missed you or whatever it might be. Okay? So you follow, where did that come from? Well, it was telepathic. Bypass the conscious mind filter. You didn't have to stop and analyze it. Okay. And the more you pay attention to that and acknowledge that as good, and like I said, appreciate your coup for bringing it to your attention, the more of that intuitive telepathy will start to occur. And when you want to pick up consciously, like we're going to do some psychometry a little later on, where you want to, which is like doing a psychic reading for somebody, well, we'll get more focused with that.
Why is it that so often you're more effective when you're not grunting and groaning at it, when it just happens?
Because
I had a real strange one the other day, and I thought to myself, I know exactly how that happened. I know exactly why it happened, but I didn't have any intention of making it happen.
Right.
I wanted my daughter's new address in Ontario. And I thought about it, I got some mail, I got to forward to her.
Right.
So I phone her mother, leave a message on her mother's answering machine saying, do you know Lissa's address? That night Lissa phones me and says, I thought you might want my new address.
Of course. Very psychic lady.
I didn't try to do anything.
No, that's right.
Why does it work so good when you don't try?
Because so often when we try, we build up stress, and stress inhibits the flow of information.
Oh, blocks the energy.
Blocks the energy, that's right, and so blocks that flow.
What about when the other person, if you're wanting to make contact with someone and they're resisting, I'm thinking of a family member, and they are resisting.
Right.
Do you just keep sending, and hoping eventually that their ku will accept it, receive it, and translate it into their consciousness?
Sure, but if the way to do that even more effectively is if you're doing it without demanding. In other words, call me. And they'll tend, if you pull on something, it'll tend to pull back.
Yes.
What you do is you get yourself in a real relaxed state, and frequently say, well, thanks for calling. Let it go. Thanks for calling. I know you're going to be calling. Thank you. And you send that kind of a thought out with no effort, with no strain.
Okay.
And they'll, I think I'll call so-and-so. It'll come to their mind like that. Right? Whereas if you want them to call, you're creating stress. You just send it out like a course.
So that is the same as receiving. Very soft, very gentle.
You want to receive. You pay, turn into somebody. You think about them and say, well, we'll find out when we do psychometry. But it's basically, you know, what have you got to tell me? And pay attention to that, and realize that you will probably be receiving it symbolically, but not always. And the not always part, with practice, you know it. Or you tune into somebody and say, if you need me, let me know. and you'll get the intuitive feelings, that kind of giving permission to your subconscious to give you the impulse will help it come through better.